Toronto Blue Jays off until tomorrow when they host the Seattle Mariners. Time now, though, for our Baseball Insider. Dan Schulman, brought to you by SML Entertainment, specializing in pool tables and hot tubs since 1956. Five Alberta locations. Go to smlentertainment.com for details. Mr. Schulman, how are you today, sir?
I'm well, Rob. How you doing?
I'm excellent. Hey, before we get into the Jays topics and some other baseball topics, just one from your standpoint. Does the game change after the All-Star break for you? Do you find that the games tighten up, the races become a little more heated, or is that just a kind of a myth?
I think it does to a certain extent. I mean, I think the focus right away goes to the trade deadline, so everybody's very in tune with what their team's needs are in every game at the end of July. You know, the Yankees are a good example right now. They win four in a row, and everybody says, okay, they're back into it. Now they lose today. Are they on the fence? Are they buyers? Are they sellers? So I don't know if the actual game is more intense, but I think the feeling about each game is more intense because people are really watching the standings that much more closely.
Let's start off with a couple of Jays' thoughts. First of all, Jose Bautista doing his rehab stint looked like it went really well in Buffalo, could return on Monday. When he comes back, your thoughts on what this does to the lineup and how John Gibbons may deploy his lineup?
My guess is for the most part, he's back in right field and he's leading off. You can DH him, move Encarnacion to first base, have Smoke sit down and have Carrera in the outfield if you want. So I think there's some flexibility there for Bautista to maybe DH once or twice a week if they want that. Encarnacion plays first a couple times a week. Smoke hasn't exactly been playing every day himself. You know, some of it depends on how hot everybody is. If Carrera, once he gets back, stays hot, he'll play more. If Smoke gets hot, then he'll play more. So I think there's some flexibility there, but you know, if all goes well, if the toe is good for Bautista, you'd like to see him in the outfield as much as possible. But I think he could move around a little bit into the DH spot as well.
So he's coming back from injury. Chris Colabello about to be coming back from suspension. Is there a role for him, Dan, between now? And he's obviously not playoff eligible, but is there a role for him with the big club?
Again, I think some of that depends on Colabello and how he does in the minors. And then some of that, I think, also depends on Smoke. You know, last year they had Colabello and Smoke, and we shouldn't forget they had Deonor Navarro, who, yeah, he was a backup catcher, but he also fit in the mix at DH a little bit every now and again. It was really crowded. I think there is room for Colabello if they want to make room. Say Bautista comes back and he's healthy and he's fine. Now you've got Carrera. Say you've got Barney on the bench if Travis is playing, and you've got Toley. You've got room either for one more position player or an eighth reliever. So it could be, you know, is Ryan Tepera back out of the bullpen? It could be, is Ryan Goins back with the Jays in that role? Or it could be Colabello. I don't think there's automatically a spot for Colabello. I think some things have to go his way, but I think it is possible if they really want to make it happen.
Dan, just one more on the Jays, and that has to do with two of the big free agents they'll have at the end of the year, and that's Jose Bautista, but Edwin Encarnacion as well. Bautista, we know about the injury. Encarnacion, is Edwin showing you anything? I mean, he's on an incredible tear right now.
He's having a phenomenal season, and I give guys in this kind of a situation all the credit in the world. I think it's easy, you know, and here's the biggest concern for a guy like Encarnacion is, will I make $18 million or $22 million? Like, we should all have such problems, but still, you know, in that world, a lot of guys put pressure on themselves and it impacts them negatively in a contract year. And not only has he had a great year, just keeping his head down, chugging along, swinging the bat great, he hasn't rocked the boat, he hasn't ruffled any feathers. He said in the spring, once the season starts, I don't want to talk about it. He's been true to his word, and he's having himself an incredible season. Even when Bautista was hurt, even at the beginning when some guys were struggling, Encarnacion has been there from day one. So he's having a great season. It's great news for the Blue Jays in 2016. It may not be the best news for the Blue Jays in 2017, though, because with every home run he hits and every run he drives in, the price tag is going up.
And is he outpacing Bautista in that regard, is he not? I mean, at the beginning of the year, yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, he's also 2 years younger.
Yeah.
And he's also content to be primarily a DH. So there are a couple of things that he has in his favor. And I think the perception is, rightly or wrongly, he might take fewer years and less money than Bautista. So, yeah, if there's zero chance the Blue Jays were held in the back. There's just no way in the world they're going to have that many guys in their mid to upper 30s making that much money when you factor in Tulowitzki and Martin as well. I think there's a better chance Encarnacion is back, but I think there's an excellent chance the Boston Red Sox back up the truck and throw as much money at them as they can.
Dan Shulman, our MLB insider, joining us this afternoon here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, brought to you by SML Entertainment. You mentioned the trade deadline. That's looming on the horizon. We've already seen a couple of teams, the Red Sox, the Cubs, to name a few, dip in early. Anything grab your attention? Anything that jumps out at you in some of the early deals we've seen so far?
Well, I think the Red Sox did a great job. I mean, none of the guys they got are stars, but especially Brad Ziegler, the reliever, with Uehara, Tozawa, and Kimbrel all on the DL right now. I mean, Ziegler's really important. Pomerantz, great. Well, he didn't provide innings. Didn't look great in the sixth inning in his Red Sox debut. Aaron Hill's a good pickup as well. You know, they didn't go out and get a Price or a Tulowitzki, but they made their team better. They had some obvious issues, and the guys they got are better than the guys they had. So I like what they did, but I'm fascinated by what's still to come. We mentioned the Yankees. You know, how they do in the next week will determine whether or not guys like Chapman, Beltran, and maybe Miller are on the trade market or not. With Clayton Kershaw out, and we don't know for how long, what does that do for the L.A. Dodgers? Will they go get a pitcher? I still think the Cubs have a major move in them. I think they're going to go get another reliever. The Blue Jays need a left-handed reliever desperately. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the Texas Rangers need a starting pitcher, and you know, there's some pretty talented players out there. If you look, there are some bad teams with some pretty good players, and I think it's going to be a pretty busy 10 days.
So it's a seller's market right now, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the second wild card has changed things because so many more teams appear to be in it. That having been said, you know, when there was just one wild card, if you made the playoffs, you were in a division series. Now, if you're a wild card, you got to play a one-game playoff just to get to a division series. And some teams are hesitant to part with their top prospects for a 50-50 shot at making a division series. So, you know, every team looks at it differently. Every team values prospects differently. It depends on their budget, their market, and so forth. But, you know, right now, if you look at Tampa Bay with all the starting pitching they have, they could get a good haul for one or two of those starting pitchers. Will Oakland trade Sonny Gray? Will Milwaukee trade Jonathan Lucroy, a very talented player, you know, the Yankee guys as well. There's some pretty good players out there.
You mentioned Tampa. Would they move Chris Archer?
It's a funny thing. It's kind of like Oakland with Sonny Gray, because if you move Chris Archer, he's not having nearly as good a year as last year or the year before. So if you're the Rays, are you willing to take less for him now because he's not having as good a year? Because if you want as much for him as you would have gotten last year, other teams might say, well, wait a minute, he's not pitching as well this year. So I think it's more likely Archer does not get traded. And it's more likely that a guy like Matt Moore or Drew Smyly or Jake Odorizzi, maybe Odorizzi most of all, gets traded. You know, a guy who's, you might not have to, it sounds contradictory, you might not have to give up as much to get him, but he might actually be pitching better than Chris Archer in 2016.
Well, a lot of, obviously, trades that get influenced by injuries. I wanted to ask you about Clayton Kershaw's injury with the Dodgers and what that does there. I mean, you just don't go out and replace him. But A, on the Dodgers, but also the NL West, how does it impact things out there?
Well, in my opinion on the Dodgers is this. I think if they had a healthy Kershaw and he was pitching the way he did in the first half, I think they might have gone out and made a major move and said, hey, I think we're good enough to win the World Series. Let's go for it here. With Kershaw out, I'm not sure that they're willing to trade some good prospects for a starting pitcher. Because I'm not sure, this is just me speculating, I'm not sure they believe they're good enough to win the World Series without Clayton Kershaw. And I happen to agree with them. But what we don't know now is whether it's another 2 weeks or whether it's the rest of the season. And I think the Dodgers will take this right down to the wire on August the 1st before they decide whether or not they're going to make the move. In terms of what it does in the division, you know, the funny part is the Dodgers won again today. They're 13-7. Since Clayton Kershaw last appeared in a game. It was a Sunday night game that we did in Pittsburgh. They're 13-7 since then. They're actually playing pretty well right now. Justin Turner hit two more homers today. He's on fire. So the Dodgers are kind of caught in a funny spot. They're missing their best player, but they're playing better than they have all season. So I think they're going to ride this one down as close to the deadline as they can before they decide what they do.
Dan, just a couple more for you. And one comes a little bit, lack of a better term, out of left field, but it always find it interesting that the beginning of the year, we always set up all the changes and new rules, and then we kind of forget about it. This year, the change to the slide rule at second base immediately almost was impactful with the Jays and the Rangers and that incident. But as the season has played on, how has that rule impacted the game? Has it had much of an impact on the game?
Well, I think the players have adjusted well, and I'm one of those. By and large, I'm in favor of the new rule, and I know that kind of puts me in the minority with some people, especially ex-players who don't like it at all. But I want to see healthy players on the field. I don't want to see guys getting roll blocked at second base or anything like that. And I also like the neighborhood rule. I mean, they allowed middle infielders, second baseman specifically, to kind of be near the bag because they didn't want them to get hurt. Okay, well, if you put in a slide rule to protect them, now let's make the second baseman step on the bag. I mean, that's the way we teach our kids how to play baseball. Why shouldn't they do it in the majors? So I think the players have adjusted. One thing that some people will tell you the difference is the way the first baseman can play, that they don't have to hold the runner as much because the runner can't go into second. It's hard to break up a double play. So the first baseman has more range. That helps the pitchers. And I'm good with all that. I mean, all sports are constantly a game of adjustments. They tweak rules, the players change, strategies change, new theories come in. It's okay, in my mind, for sports to evolve and change over the years.
Finally, we mentioned the Dodgers just a couple of seconds ago, but they're on Sunday Night Baseball this weekend,
yep.
Aren't they? Yeah.
We have the Dodgers and the Cardinals. We will be at Busch Stadium, where I am told it's going to be 37 degrees
Whoa.
Celsius. I don't know about you in Calgary, but me growing up in Toronto, that ain't what I'm looking for. So all I know is the only guarantee I can give you is I'm going to be sweating. Other than that, I have no idea what's going to happen. We're going to see Scott Kazmir for the Dodgers. Cardinals are undecided still. They had a doubleheader on Tuesday, so that's messed up their rotation a little bit. Cardinals are an interesting team, though. They're starting to pile up some wins, and the Cubs aren't playing quite as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one way or the other, I think St. Louis is going to find their way into the playoffs. I don't know if they'll catch the Cubs, but I'm a big believer in the Cardinals' way and how determined they are and the next man up philosophy they have when somebody gets hurt. They're just a quality organization, and I think one way or another they'll be playing baseball in October.
Good stuff, Dan. Appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, you got it. Thanks.
Dan Shulman, our Major League Baseball insider, brought to you by SML Entertainment, specializing in pool tables and hot tubs since 1956. With 5 Alberta locations, go to smlentertainment.com for details.